fighting for America.
I believe in the power of millions of courageous conservatives rising up to reignite the promise of America. And that is why I am announcing that I'm running for President of the United States.
Fighting for Idaho.
Get over your temper tantrum, Mr. President. It's time that we work together with our Israeli friends and try to stem this tide of ISIS.
Fighting for you.
What are we doing here? We're putting rules in statute to define medical practice. You guys want to be doctors? Be careful.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning. Is there a better way to start the day with Senator Crapo with us? Senator, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good to have you with us here at 580 KIDO. So is the Capitol abuzz with one of your colleagues jumping into the ring there, that Ted Cruz?
Well, you know, we've kind of all known that was coming, and of course we expect several others of our colleagues to be jumping in. So, yeah, it's a buzz, but it has been a buzz for a while.
Well, it's not your first rodeo with these things.
That's right. That's right. And as you probably know, I have not endorsed or selected one candidate yet. I think we're going to have a robust primary, and I'm going to look at all of these folks and see what you know. My highest priority is who can win, and we need to have a good, strong conservative, but we also need one who can win, and that's what we need to look for.
Well, you know, just sidetracking a little to presidential politics, could the Republicans have too much of a good thing, too many candidates? I remember the last time it seemed to go on and on and on, and then you had a wounded candidate. Of course, we saw that the last two times around, I think.
Yeah, the Republicans have shown a proclivity to just beat themselves to a pulp sometimes in the primary and do damage to whoever ends up winning the primary. I hope we don't do that. I believe that a strong primary is actually helpful if it's done in a way in which the winner does not come out bloodied and bruised and without any kind of financial ability to defend against a Democrat opponent who has been spending the entire time just banking money. So there is that problem. But look, let's face it, we're going to have quite a few very strong candidates get in the race. And I think that shows the depth of our field, of our team, and I think we should use this opportunity to promote a strong debate about the kinds of policies by which America should be governed, and that's what I hope will catch the vision of the American voters.
I'm with you. It's kind of strange. You see a tale of two parties. On one hand, uber competitiveness with the Republicans, and at least right now, a coronation on the Democrats, when, let's face it, historically, when the seats open, the seat's open.
Yeah, I'm actually quite surprised. I knew that Hillary would be very strong, but I know of two or three other Democrats who are very prominent and would also be strong contenders who are just taking a bow and, you know, are taking a pass. And it surprises me. I know that the polling shows that Hillary Clinton is doing very well today against Republican opponents. But I don't think that's necessarily going to continue, and I think that the Democrats ought to be having a nice, robust primary as well.
Senator Crapo, let's talk about pocketbook issues as always, and let's start with, you know, the future of employment, of jobs in America. Obviously, you're worried about the debt. You and I talk about this all the time. But where are we fiscally, and what about the jobs for, you know, many college graduates that will be graduating from Idaho or Boise State or any of the other fine institutions this spring?
Well, you know, I think it's very important for, in particular, those college students and others who are looking for jobs, people who have lost their job or who have become reemployed but at a lower-paying job. I think it's important for us all to remember that if we want strong jobs and strong wages and strong benefits, then we have to have a strong economy. We have to have robust capital investment in our country. We need to have entrepreneurship, and we need to have that, just that belief that drives competitive business environment and generates the kinds of strong companies that generate strong jobs. And that's small businesses mostly across this country. So what that means is that we need to get our fiscal house in order. I'll come back to the debt. We need to stop the fiscal crisis in Washington. We need to reform our tax code so that we promote savings and investment and capital formation. And we need to get the federal government's phenomenal regulatory burden off of the back of a business enterprises and job creators. And we know how to do that. We know what needs to be done. We're just having the political fight right now in Washington over whether we should allow a free market to operate or whether we should have the government essentially dominate the market.
Well, one thing that government has happened, unfortunately, under this administration, and it's grown, and yet you have private enterprise shrinking. You have half of American households right now, Senator Crapo, living paycheck to paycheck. There, something has to give, and the federal government has to, you know, instead of printing money, because, you know, we can't, has to start living within its means and starting to cut back, right?
That's exactly right. In fact, one economist told me back in the day when we were doing the Bowles-Simpson Commission and evaluating this, one of the economists said, you know, if America would just adopt a few sensible policies, get on the track of tax reform, get on the track of controlling its fiscal policy and stop the crazy policies that are going on, he said you wouldn't need to finish the whole trail before the world would see. He said the world capital markets would instantly see that America was starting to get it right. And he said capital and investment would flow to America, and he said America would see an economic revival stronger than probably any that it has ever seen in the history of the country. And so we really do have a great potential there, but we've got to make some very basic decisions, reversing our current fiscal policy and reversing that flow of government intrusion into the private sector.
Doesn't Bowles-Simpson sound like something so far back, like the rotary phone?
It does, unfortunately. And, you know, sometimes I think it's been, what, 4 or 5 years? If we had gotten on that track then, we would be 5 years into one of the most powerful reform processes that we've ever undertaken in America. And, you know, we'll never know, but I believe that our economy would be very, very much more powerful, and you and I would be having a different conversation about jobs.
Senator, let's talk a little here at 580 KIDO about the future of Gowan Field. You've been defending it. We talk about the A-10. I've said to your colleague, Senator Risch, and others that I think with the Republicans like you guys in the Senate, that the A-10 will be around for a while. The F-35A, as you know, has been plagued with a lot of problems. You know, we're talking right about downsizing the military. How do you defend Gowan?
Well, first and foremost, Gowan has already become very easy to defend. You know, in some of the previous competitive environments in which placements of F-35s were considered, Gowan was in the very top list of competitive places. So we don't have to, we need to continue to promote its strengths, but we don't have to try to create a strength. That strength of Gowan is already known. What we need to do is to stop bad policy decisions from being driven by budget considerations in Washington. And you're right. I believe that we will, through both our defense authorization legislation and our other armed services legislation, and through our budget, provide for additional support for our defense policies that will specifically instruct the Department of Defense to continue operating the A-10 until the F-35 is in place and ready to be utilized as a replacement technology. And at that point, again, I think that Gowan Field will still be and will increasingly be a strong competitor for those replacements.
It is tough, though, when you think of the F-35A has been plagued by a lot of problems. Look, we all love the military. We want the best planes. We, you know, it was the F-35 had such promise. It skipped the you know, we skipped a generation
right
with the F-22. How concerned are you about the overruns of the F-35?
Well, I am concerned, but it's the kind of concern I have where I'm not concerned that we can't solve these problems. I'm concerned that we must give the resources to it to resolve them and have a much better management of that process. And frankly, a lot of these cost overruns or other glitches that have come up need to be not only resolved in terms of the technology, but they need to be resolved in terms of the cost so that we don't continue to see these cost overruns in developing these critical parts of our national defense infrastructure.
Senator Mike Crapo with us here at 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Senator, we take a final look as we've gone through the plethora of topics here today. The decision by the administration to keep troops in Afghanistan. I know you, like everyone else in Idaho, very concerned about our commitment there. Your thoughts on keeping the additional forces there?
Well, you know, this is one where I have very mixed feelings because, as I've told you before, I don't believe that the United States should let itself get into a position of permanent occupation in Afghanistan or, frankly, in any other country. That being said, the lesson we learned in Iraq when President Obama, in my opinion, against the advice of his military advisors, moved out too quickly and left a void is one that we are paying dearly for now in the battle with ISIS. And so I guess where I come down is I'm willing to support a slower pullout or withdrawal if our military advisors tell us that that's what it takes in order to leave a more stable environment in which we don't end up facing a stronger ISIS-type threat. But I'm not willing to just let us get pulled into a permanent occupation. So it's at this point I'm ready to follow our military advisors, but I think we ought to be very careful about it.
Senator, anything else you want to share with us today?
That should cover it. There's tons of issues. You know, the only other thing I guess I would say is this is budget week in Washington, and that means you're going to have a whole week with dozens and dozens of votes as we battle to try to craft a budget that balances. The president's budget didn't even try to balance, and so I don't think it has a chance of being adopted. But Americans ought to watch, because in that fiscal policy that we discussed earlier, one of the big things that hasn't been happening is we haven't been getting a budget in Congress. This year we're going to do it, and I hope everybody watches. It's this week that we will go major steps down that road.
Well, Senator, as they say in politics and the gunfire, keep your powder dry.
That will do.
Take care, sir.
All right.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Sergeant Bo Bergdahl left his base in Afghanistan in the summer of 2009 and was held captive by the Taliban, sometimes in a metal box, for 5 years. Bergdahl was released as part of a controversial exchange for five top Taliban leaders at Guantanamo Bay last summer. A Rose Garden announcement by the president alongside Bergdahl's parents and statements by the White House about Bergdahl's heroism raised eyebrows.
I called Bob and Jenny Bergdahl and told them that after nearly 5 years in captivity, their son Bo is coming home.
Soon after his release, a chorus of criticism erupted from soldiers in Bergdahl's unit, who spent much of their tour looking for Bergdahl, blaming the loss of some members of their unit to those search efforts.
There we have Jennifer Griffin last night. You have Adam Kinzinger, a congressman who served, had this to say concerning Bo Bergdahl.
You know, not only, by the way, did the president not just consult us, he was obligated by law to notify us of this, and he didn't do that either. So this charge today is I think, very just, very deserved. We're going to see how this trial goes about. But at the end of the day, the bigger picture at this is this. We traded five of among the worst enemies of the United States and the Afghan people. We had the Afghan president here today talking about, you know, his country and the need to solidify that and secure it. We traded the five biggest enemies of Afghanistan and the United States for somebody that was a deserter. And I hope we learn a lesson from this, which is we can't negotiate again with terrorists.
But there is the thought we don't leave anyone behind, even deserters or anything else behind. So what would, I mean, I take it that even, let's assume that he's had a court martial, let's assume he's been found guilty, assume he's a deserter and all those things. Would we still have left him behind?
Well, look, I went through Air Force survival training, and that's one of the first things they tell you is your country will never leave you behind, and we take a lot of heart at that. But it's a two-way street. Your country won't leave you behind, but you can never leave your country behind either.
There you have it, Congressman Adam Kinzinger, who has his sights set, obviously, on higher office. By the way, we will be having our Promote Our Schools segment again. Thank you, Chick-fil-A. Thank you, CapEd. We're waiting for our friends, the homeschoolers, to come in. We'll get to them in a minute. However, at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, here in Idaho, what do you think? Now, again, as I've said many times, I'm very torn on this. On one hand, you see the justifiable anger, you hear it, and you have people saying that Bo Bergdahl is a traitor, Bo Bergdahl is this. You know, people, and I'll reveal this for the first time, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, if you weren't listening to this program, we did a walk for Bo Bergdahl. We did our due diligence as far as looking into his background. We talked to his parents. At the time, they weren't getting a lot of cooperation from the Army. Now, with the Guard and the Air Guard here, they were getting a lot of cooperation at the state level, but not a lot from the federal government. In fact, you had, Dave Burnett always talking about that Obama never called Bob Bergdahl. Now he's his friend. And based on that, we decided to go and do a freedom walk for the people surfing, for Bo Bergdahl. And as you've seen me, I'm a big bell pepper, if you will. I was going to say a big tomato, but we'll stick to the bell pepper analogy. And I walked, feet and all, blisters and all, from Haley, Idaho, to Boise in 7 days. It wasn't one of the brighter things that I've done, or really at the time the company, because at the end of it, my blood pressure was 235 over 135, and I had to spend a lot of time trying to figure out what the next step was after getting medical attention. But the purpose of that was to raise awareness, and it was picked up by the Wall Street Journal. Sadly, it wasn't picked up by any of the local outlets here, even though we had General Gayhart with us, we had the governor, the first lady. The Wall Street Journal covered the story, not the local outfits. They must have been busy covering a stoplight being moved. Anyway, regardless of that, I got to know the people of Haley. We actually did a few shows from Zanies, where Bo used to work. I was there at the news conference when Bob and Janie had come back from the White House. We were all so happy. And it's conflicting testimony when you think about it, conflicting emotions, because on one hand, you read the story in Rolling Stone. I'm trying to think of Michael, whatever his name was, who was killed in a car crash, who did that devastating story on Bo Bergdahl, where he was talking about he was disillusioned, he had to follow his conscience, he loved the Afghan people. But think about this, at 580-5436, and I know it's early, but this is what everybody's yapping about, and that's what we do. If you're talking about it, we're talking about it. You spent time in a metal box. You were beaten. You were done this, that, and the other. Isn't that enough punishment? Now, what happens to Bo Bergdahl? You remember our friend Colonel Attica? This is what he had to say.
This is a recommendation by this general officer, which is very unusual. General officers never investigate these types of cases, but because of the politics involved, that's what happened. So this is a recommendation. The charges will now go to an Article 32 officer, which is like a grand jury, although it's actually more, it provides more of a trial than the civilian grand jury.
More from Colonel Attica at 580-KIDO.
I was gratified by it. I was frightened, quite frankly, that the Obama administration had influenced the military to actually sweep this under the rug, because in a normal process, when Bergdahl came back, he should have been immediately investigated. That should have taken about 2 weeks, and Article 32 should have been convened, and he should have been court-martialed long ago.
Colonel Attica should have been court-martialed. Was the administration behind the pressure to keep Bo Bergdahl in the military? 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Our friend the judge had this to say.
It is not too late for them to seek the death penalty, but it sounds to me as though it is off the table. The language would have been much harsher and the allegations more precise, and they would have given the name of the soldier who they say died as a result of the search for him if they were going to use that as a trigger.
Now, here's the issue. Should Bo Bergdahl be held accountable for those troops that died searching for him? These are tough decisions. And it's very easy to be like our colleagues in the national media that will continue to condemn. It's not easy to defend Bo. It's not easy to defend Bob and Janney. But I'd be a hypocrite if I sat there, if I turned on them. Now, your thoughts, your views, always welcome. And we'll hear from Bob Bergdahl in a minute, a clip talking about Afghanistan and Idaho. But how many people would do whatever they could to get their kid released? Whether it's talking to the Haqqani Network, whether it's learning the five pillars of Islam. Okay, that's the Bergdahl scenario. On the other hand, you have the President of the United States, Mr. Sorry, Pastor Saeed, we don't negotiate with terrorists, but we negotiate with the Iranians. When are we going to say that we negotiate with anybody that'll talk to us? I mean, we really do. We negotiate with anybody that'll talk to us. That's really what it comes down to. And the president had that big photo op with the Bergdahls. The president made the statement that Mr. Bergdahl served with honor and distinction and with respect to Susan Rice and everybody else. I would have to say that wasn't the case. If you serve with honor and distinction, I don't think you leave your crew, right? Now, apparently, the Army has determined that Sergeant Bergdahl was not kidnapped, that he left willingly. And if that's the case, that well, you get 5 years for desertion, misbehaving with the enemy. And now, again, remember what Kerry Patton told us many years ago through the Black Ops, if you will, the Black Ops Network, that apparently there was some collusion going on. The good news about this is that the military will decide, not the politicians.
We're so much like Afghanistan. I wish I could write a book about that. Our character is a lot alike. The mountain, desert environment breeds tough people. People who know how to farm here and make a living. And it's hard, but it makes you tough. And it does, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you tougher.
There we have it.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men, men, manly men.
Ah, the days when men were men and women were women. Friday here at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin.
So I've got a few issues I need to discuss with you.
Oh, boy.
Now, did you watch any of the college basketball game last night? Any of them?
Nope, not a bit.
Really?
See, no, I've lost heart. My brackets broke. I've lost interest.
See, I watch it for the game. I don't like the brackets.
Mm-hmm.
I watch it for the thrill of the competition, if you will.
Sure.
So last night I'm watching Carolina versus Wisconsin. And, you know, I thought Carolina did a fairly good job, but the game that I really wanted to watch was Kentucky versus West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I have never seen, and look, you know how much I love college basketball, and I'm always giving you a hard time about talking about it. A note of hypocrisy on my part here. But Kentucky was just so much bigger. It was like a varsity team versus a junior varsity team. In fact, at one time it was 18-2.
Yeah, right at the start, they came out and just kicked them. But, of course, it didn't help that a freshman on, who's are they playing, Georgia or somebody or other?
West Virginia.
West Virginia. It didn't help that the freshman came out, opened his big mouth, and said, yeah, they're going to lose. That's never good.
Yeah, they were going to be 36 or 37 yeah. and 1.
Mm-hmm.
However, it just seemed like such a mismatch last night. And all the other games, Arizona beating Xavier and North Carolina losing to Wisconsin, Notre Dame surprisingly moving on. The ACC could perhaps have, what, two or three teams in the Final Four?
Yeah, looking very strong.
So, but just the mismatch there just kind of got me. I was just like, wow, they've got their front line is almost all 7-footers.
Yeah, they're very big, and not only big, they're quick.
Quick, and they move, and then they've got this point guard that's like 5'9 that comes in to run the second team, which could be a first team in pretty much any other college.
Yeah, but they're all going to be pretty much one and done. You could take Kentucky's starting lineup, and they would start, the individual players would start on any team in the nation.
Hmm.
So, that's you know, that's my opinion, but I think you could see that. You could take those five guys and they would start. I don't care if you're talking Duke. I don't care if you're talking Arizona. I don't care if you're talking Wisconsin. They could start on any team.
Well, we'll see what happens with Kentucky, my old Kentucky home, if you will.
Yep. Now, the question is, what happens to the coach? Is he going to leave? Because there's word that he may be leaving at the end of the year.
Yeah, this wouldn't be his first time going to the NBA. It didn't end well for him there.
No, he's kind of bored, I think, now with what he's doing. It's kind of like, okay, boring. Done this.
Boring?
Sure.
You're the pride of Lexington, Kentucky. You're the man in college basketball.
He's bored.
Wouldn't that be great to be successful?
It's had that. Been there. Done that. Bored. I would know. I would have no idea.
I'm with you on that. I wouldn't that be great?
Hey, look at that. My bracket. I'm down to 15th now. Great. That's fantastic.
Now, is that within the building here?
Yes, that's the M&Ms we're playing for in the building.
I see.
I'm down to 15th.
Well.
Let's see. Rance Pugmire's in first place.
Wow.
I assume that's who RP would be.
I guess. He's a nice young man.
Yeah, yeah. One of our sales sharks here.
I see. 5:43, who's usually up listening at this time.
He is not. He's sound asleep.
No. I'm not kidding. He's up about this.
Nuh-uh.
Anyway, we won't make it all about rants. Let's continue on here. We had the disclosure yesterday we touched on briefly where apparently the airline pilot, the Airbus, was depressed. So he crashed the plane, allegedly.
That's scary.
It is.
I mean, that somebody be depressed and decide, I'm not going to take me out, I'm going to take everyone out with me.
Right, we'll be seeing you.
Yeah. I mean, imagine the horror. You're sitting there reading your in-flight magazine.
I'd be on my Kindle watching Bosch.
And then you hear, and you're looking up going,
that's not good.
Ruh-roh. Uh-oh, and the pilot's going nuts trying to beat down the door. I don't care if you knew it was a pilot or thought the pilot had gone, and then the plane's descending. That would be 10 minutes of pure horror.
Right.
As you slowly pile drive into the ground. Unbelievable. You know, I think about that. That's the kind of stuff nightmares is made of.
Right.
So, you know, God rest all of their souls.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. So, and then, you know, people were wanting to know immediately, what's his name? What's the ethnicity of his name? You know, where's he from? What's his ties? And I assume they're still going through all of his stuff with a fine-tooth comb right now.
That's what they did. They went into his house and grabbed a bunch of boxes.
Yep. What boxes would they grab at your house?
A lot. I'm a hoarder.
Are you a hoarder? You got boxes of stuff saved forever?
I have stuff from the old, case files from the Duke Lacrosse stuff. I have stuff from, you know, cassette tapes of this program 20 years ago when it began.
That'd be good to bring in sometime.
Really?
I would love to hear that. Bring one in and we'll edit down 5 minutes to put on the air. Kevin Miller is a baby talk show host.
I'm
telling you guys, knock it off.
That'd be great.
Hello, Mr. Forbes.
That would be great.
Tell us about your economic plan.
Yeah, you should bring one of those in and we'll put together 5 minutes of.
Maybe we could play it to, you know.
We can make it Throwback Thursday.
Yakety Sax behind it.
That'd be good. Haven't heard that in a long time.
Exactly. So we've got that going on. Other news, it doesn't look good for historic gaming.
What do you think the odds are that Governor Otter will put the big veto on it?
Now, you seem to think that it will, that he will do that.
I think there's that possibility. So far, he says he has not made up his mind yet.
Yeah, Christy Perry yesterday was very emotional where people are calling her, begging her for jobs and such.
Begging her for jobs? Yeah.
That she's going to lose her job and everything else, or they're going to lose their jobs. And
the end of June. They'll be done.
But here's the thing at 580-5436. Who's to blame, really? Is it the legislature for not doing its due diligence? Is it Mr. Sheldon's group for assuming that these things just don't happen. You don't make a lot of money one year and go broke the next. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think the horse track has always been on the bubble or just below the bubble.
Yeah, but these guys, they're big money people. You know what I mean? They just don't invest for whatever. So, you know, the first 2 years, the thing's blowing up. And Mr. Sheldon told us, John Sheldon, the president, told us that the reason why they need the gaming machines is to get the purses.
Yep.
Now, when they bought LeBlanc and they redid it, did they budget that these machines would be in? Because remember, those didn't come in until last year when the park had been open for a few years.
I don't think they did, but I think probably expenses, and again, I'm assuming, but I think, you know, expenses were there. They had the opportunity to say, here's a way you can make additional revenue to help support the game, you know, the horse racing, the track, the facility itself. They went, man, here's a good idea. Let's float this. They floated the idea by, legislature said, okay, and signed off on it. Now, were they deceptive? I don't know. You know, or was it one of those cases where, here's what we got, and some, you know, people looked at it and went, oh, okay, all right, rubber stamp, done. I don't know. There's a lot of people pointing fingers back and forth both ways.
Right. However, this is all about business. So was it did the state Senate, were they lied to, or the House when they approved this?
Or did they not pay attention?
Right. And whose fault is that? Or is it the Shoshone tribe? Is that it?
The Shoshone tribe? The Coeur d'Alene tribe?
Coeur d'Alene tribe. The tribe, we'll call them.
Mm-hmm.
Really, is it just the result of their lobbyists being more effective than others?
I think maybe that's it in part. I think that is part of it.
So in reality, when we have people screaming about gambling, which I understand, look, that's how it starts. It's essentially, we're going to, you know, start with historic gaming machines, and then it's table games, and then it's...
You take 100 people and take them into the turf club and ask them where they are, they're going to tell you they're in a casino, most of them.
Right.
And how has that affected your life?
My life?
Yes.
I'm not down with gambling.
Have you been driving up Chinon Boulevard and somebody drug you in there?
No. But what I'm saying is, you know, it's a way of getting around the law.
Then why are you going to Albertsons? They have the lotto machines in there.
That's what Mr. Sheldon said.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I don't assume anybody's forced to play the lottery, have they?
Of all the words and rhetoric and everything that has been said, I would hope that you would ask me about it, because I know what I said. I know what I stood up on this floor and said. I know what I said in the committee, and I know what was said with the people and all the industry that was behind the bill.
That was Representative Christy Perry, the one that said that Bo Bergdahl has done enough time talking about the gaming machines yesterday with the big House vote. I again, if you're going to have gambling, call it a casino. If it's against the law to have casinos, then you have to adhere to the law. I've just seen it in other parts of the country where it's just incremental. You know, but in fairness, if there is fairness, Dave Burdett, during this segment, by the way, it's 550, 44 degrees in Boise, 580 KIDO.
10 minutes before six. Just another way of looking at it.
But if it is that way, then you know, just call it that. But on the other, back to my point, thanks, Sparkly Object, it's somebody's going to lose their jobs because somebody didn't do their due diligence. And is it really a threat to the Coeur d'Alene tribe?
No.
But apparently they have some sway, and all you have to say is it's gambling in Idaho, and it goes out the window.
Mm-hmm. You ever driven by the big old bingo thing there on Glenwood across from the fairgrounds? Big old bingo thing.
There are a lot of nonprofits that do bingo, the Catholics. Mm-hmm. The
Is that gambling?
I would say, yeah, people get around it. I guess I'm going to have to say, because I'm too much of a weenie here to have an opinion on this. What's your point?
Well, you said you're against gambling.
I am.
So is bingo gambling?
Yes.
All right. Then that should be shut down.
No, because it's not a casino gambling.
Oh, like, they play it in casinos.
Now, when I go to Reno, I don't gamble.
Well, that's good. And you know what? That's your choice.
I watch. You know what I do when I go somewhere?
I don't know.
This is going to tell you the type of individual I am.
Oh, boy.
I watch the local news. That's my idea of a good time. Now, Mrs. Miller, she'll be down there hitting the slots.
Nice. See, I would rather be with Mrs. Miller. Yeah. I'd rather be with Daisy down there.
Most people
hitting the tables.
Most people like to be with Mrs. Miller as opposed to me. But I will sit there, and I will talk to the local news people. That's my idea
and
of a good
all going,
time.
Oh boy, here comes that Miller guy.
Well, no, they don't see me, but
oh, you're talking at the TV in the hotel room.
Right.
Wow.
That's my idea of entertainment, sadly.
But is bingo gambling?
I would say yes.
Then it should be shut down.
However, you're not putting slots into the bingo machine, if you will.
What if you had a slot machine that represented bingo?
I just think that LeBlanc upset somebody powerful, and now they paid the price.
Mm-hmm. Maybe somebody was embarrassed.
Somebody doesn't want these racing tracks to get more powerful or more influential in the gaming business.
Well, I hate getting drug off of Glenwood onto the bingo thing. Every time I drive by, there's somebody trying to get me going in that parking lot.
They tried.
They keep dragging my car in there.
They tried.
I'm just saying.
Well, and you do talk about the lottery there.
I haven't even gotten a chance today to talk about big business.
What about big business?
I was just going to talk about like big oils against big oil, what big oil's doing. I just wonder what protest you're going to have about big food.
Ooh, I've sold out to big food.
Now that Kraft is being gobbled up and there's only 7 companies pretty much producing all of your food in your grocery stores.
It's sad, though, when you think of Heinz. I think they're owned by a Brazilian group.
Mm-hmm. There's only 7, so there's big food, so I expect a big protest next week out of you. Traffic now, Kevin, as you're coming out of Cannon County.
On Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
5:58, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. More from yesterday's hearing.
Then we've heard we need to save the horse racing industry. My question to all you ladies and gentlemen here is, how many other industries do we want to help survive by allowing them to go into the gaming industry?
Ouch. Again, the House voting to kill historic gaming machines at LeBlanc. LeBlanc says it will close. We'll have much more on that coming up.
I used to have a dairy, 300 cows. You can't run a dairy anymore than 300 cows. I thought maybe if I could get an instant cow milking machine, put it on there and people could bet against it, and I could put some historical cows in the picture. And by the time I got done, I would be surviving and helping all the small dairies in Idaho and all the small dairies over the country.
Wow, there you have it. Interesting, very emotional, especially if you're going to be losing your job. Much more on that.